It is my joy and privilege again here tonight to present a word from the Lord to our hearts. And I trust that it truly will be a word from the Lord to my own heart as well as to yours. Sometimes when I stand up in the pulpit, I feel that Tom Roberts should be on my side, because I'm so used to interpret for him that I wait a minute and then I realize that he is not there. I have interpreted Tom whenever he has come to the Pharaohs. Now, I think it's 23 years since he came the first time. And our islands have really been blessed through his ministry. And we do thank the Lord for what the assemblies here in the Bahamas have meant to us in standing behind his servant in his service also in the Faroe Islands. When I left the Faroes in order to come here to the Bahamas and told them that I was going to visit the assemblies around here, someone said to me, "Well, who's going to interpret for you? Is Tom?" Well, I don't think that he will be able to do that yet, but he knows, of course, a few sentences in our language. But I will have to try and speak to you in my strange accent, and I trust that you are going to understand and follow what I say. Tonight, I want, first of all, to read just two verses from the Epistle to the Romans. And that is chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. The first two verses of Romans chapter 12. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And this is what the Apostle Paul says in this epistle of Romans, after he has explained to them the wonderful truths of the gospel. Then he comes to the practical side of the gospel and says, "I beseech you, therefore." Why is it that he beseeches us? It is because of all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done to us, has done to the world, to the Gentiles, and to the Jews, and to all of us individually, in saving us and giving his life as a ransom for our sins. We were reminded this morning of the theme of Mark's gospel and the wonderful truth there that Mark brings forth in chapter 10 when he says of Christ, or when Christ actually himself said, that "I have come not in order to be served, but in order to serve and give my life as a ransom for many or for all." This truth in Romans chapter 12 is illustrated in a passage in Exodus, and I would like us to turn to it now and read from Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. And we will read the first six verses. Exodus 21, verse 1. "Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years. And in the seventh, he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be the master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then the master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorstep, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This passage in Exodus 21 regarding the Hebrew servant or slave is wonderfully illustrating to us the truth of Romans chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul is pleading the Christians in Rome, as well as all Christians of all ages, to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We actually find two pictures in this passage in Exodus. And the first picture here is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the second picture is the Christian or the believer, you and I. Paul calls himself a servant or a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word in the Greek is doulos, which is the same as a slave or a servant. And he regarded it as a great honor for him to be reckoned as a slave of Jesus Christ. This is how he starts many of his epistles. Paul, an apostle and servant or slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage, we see the difference between serving the Lord by love and serving him by force. And we know that that is a great difference in common life. When we do something that we do because we love the person involved, and on the other side, if someone forces us or demands of us to do a certain service, that is a great, great difference. And this is also what Paul wants us to do. Because of the love of Christ, because of his grace that we were reminded of earlier, all that he has done for us, it should be our privilege and joy to present to him our bodies as living, not dead, but living sacrifices. Holy, not unholy, and acceptable, and not the opposite, which is our reasonable service. It should be our natural thing to do, because he loved us first, then we ought in return to love him. The Hebrew servant was to serve his master for 6 years. But on the seventh year, on the sabbatical year, he was free from slavery, and he had the liberty to go free if he wanted. But in case that his master was a good master, and he had come to love his master and love his wife and his children that he had received from his master and gotten during these 6 years, if he loved them all and loved to serve his master, he was free to do that as well. But otherwise, he could just go away on his own and do his own things the rest of his life. But on the other side, if he had come to love his master, he should go to him and tell him so, and say to him that he loved him. He loved his wife and children. He did not want to go free because he had a greater joy than just doing his own things and going free. And that was to serve his master and live together with him, his wife and his children. And then his master should take him to the door or to the doorpost, and he should pierce an awl through his ear. And the blood flowed, of course. And the rest of his life, he would have a hole in his ear, or earlip at least. And this was indicating, wherever he went, that he was the property of his master. And it would say to those who met him and knew him, that it was because of love that he was serving his master, and this was the sign of it, the hole in the ear. Now, as I said, the first picture we have of the Hebrew servant here is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is called the servant of Jehovah. We read this both in the Psalms and especially in Isaiah. And I would like to refer to a few passages in Isaiah. First, in Isaiah 42 and verse 1 and 3. You don't need to turn to it. I can just read it to you. "Behold my servant, says the Lord through Isaiah, whom I uphold, my elect one." And he is speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus Christ 700 years before he actually came as Jehovah's servant. "The elect one in whom my soul delights." This is the words of Jehovah. "I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth." That is in chapter 42. And then in chapter 50 of Isaiah, we read in verse 4, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheek to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." How wonderfully these words remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he experienced while he was here. I won't read any more in Isaiah because of time, but we also read in those well-known scripture portions of Isaiah in chapter 52, the last two or three verses, where he is depicted as the suffering servant. And in Isaiah 53, that wonderful chapter where he is depicted to us in this wonderful way, how he suffered for our sins. The well-known artist, Holman Hunt, at one time painted a painting of the Lord Jesus Christ as a boy working in his father's workshop in Nazareth. And the picture depicts the Lord Jesus Christ there as he goes about working with the tools in the workshop. And as he's working with his hand in this posture, behind him he painted the Lord as a shadow, just like a cross. And that is exactly what it all is about. What we read about the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant of Jehovah in the Old Testament, and when he came here in the New Testament, in all that he did from his birth and boyhood until that day when he was nailed to the cross of Calvary. That was all that was in God's mind and in our Savior's mind, that was to go to the cross in service, first of all, and in obedience, first of all, to his Father. And then secondly, for our sake. What a wonderful service and ministry the Lord Jesus Christ did as the servant and slave of Jehovah. He came not to be served, but he came to serve you and me and to give his life a ransom for our sins. And also in two Psalms, we see this same truth brought before us. And I want to read two or three verses from Psalm 40. Psalm 40, and we will read verse 6 to 8. This is a messianic psalm speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ 1,000 years before he actually came to the scene. And it is King David who is speaking prophetically. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. You perhaps noticed in Isaiah 50 that it said, the Lord God has opened my ear. And here it says in verse 6, my ear you have opened. Those who know the original language say that it literally could be interpreted that the Lord has made a hole in my ear. Taking our minds back to Exodus 21, where we see the Hebrew slave, because of love with his master, walking about with a hole in his ear, telling people that he loves his master, and the hole speaks of him hearing, and not only hearing with his ear, but hearing with his heart and being obedient to his master. This is exactly what was true of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came here, his desire was to do the Father's will. And he was obedient to him in all things. He had pierced ears, or opened ears. An ear with a hole in it, telling you and me that he loved his Father. And it was with joy that he came down from heaven and went to the cross and died there voluntarily for every one of us. What love and what grace. Then, of course, we also read of the Lord being pierced In chapter, in the Psalm 22, we also read how he was pierced through his hands and his feet. And Zechariah speaks also of those who shall behold him. Those who pierced him shall behold him. And John in Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, spoken of so many hundreds and thousands of years ago before he ever came. And when he came, all these scriptures were fulfilled. And we are going to see them fulfilled still. And we will one day see when he comes that every tribe and kingdom, all the great men on earth will fall before him and will give him honor and glory. The Lord Jesus said that it is my meat and my drink to do the Father's will. And he had come to fulfill his Father's mission. And that was exactly what he did. And when he went to the cross, he died for us. He was truly the servant of Jehovah. But then, secondly, the next picture we have from the Hebrew servant is the Christian or the believer. You and I, personally, if we really have been born again by the Spirit of God. Perhaps we should read this wonderful portion of Philippians chapter 2. We know it very well, I'm sure, but I would like to read these verses from Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant or a slave, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is what the Lord wants of you and me too. In willing obedience to present ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice to him. We can see the Lord Jesus going to the Father in eternity past and saying, beloved Father, I am willing to go all the way on this mission in saving mankind. And so to speak, on Calvary, he was pierced not only through his ears, but he was pierced through his hands and his feet. And he gave his life's blood for each one of us. What love. Then it should be your and mine natural reaction and reasonable service that we would be willing to do the same. We came to the Lord Jesus Christ as lost sinners one day, and he saved us. He saved our soul and our spirit, but now he also wants our body. He wants our talents, our senses. He wants us all of us. I remember as a teenager when this truth came home to my heart, because as I perhaps have told you before, that I had 5 brothers and sisters who had no hearing. They were deaf. And as a teenager, I suddenly realized the tragedy in our family. It was natural to me when I grew up with my brothers and sisters. But when my youngest brother was born and my mother told me what had happened, or that he also was deaf, and I saw the sorrow and suffering in her heart, then I realized how privileged that I was. I had all my senses, my seeing and hearing, and it was as if God said to me, "Zach, I want you to present your body as a living sacrifice to me. I want you to give back to me what I have given to you, your senses, your talents, and your gifts." And when I thought of what Christ had done to me, that he had bought me with a price, and that I was not my own, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, then I presented my body, my life, my talents, my time, my future, my everything to him. And by the grace of God, he has been pleased to use me in his service now for more than 35 years. All honor to him. And tonight, the Lord is challenging you and me to come forth as the Hebrew servant, and stand by the doorpost, so to say, and let the Lord pierce our ears, and in this way present our body as a living sacrifice to him who is worthy. In John chapter 10, the Lord is speaking about his sheep. He says to the Jews, "You are not of my sheep, because you do not hear my voice and you do not follow me." But he says, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me, or go wherever I lead them." And these two marks are the marks of a true Christian. One who is marked in his ear, and who is listening in obedience to the voice of the shepherd. And then secondly, he is marked in his feet by following wherever he leads us. It's a searching question to ask ourselves, and let us ask it tonight. Do we have those marks in our ears and in our feet? Do we listen to him, and are we obedient to his voice and to his word? And do we follow him wherever he leads us? Charles Studd, the great English missionary, he said, "If it be true that Jesus Christ is God and died for me, then there is no sacrifice too great for me to make for him." And he tells that when he once was reading through 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and came across that passage and to verse 19, where Paul says to the Corinthians, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God in your bodies." Then he realized, Charles Studd says, that he was not his own, that he was the Lord's property, and that he had to be very careful with the property that was bought with such an awesome price. And then he presented himself as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice. And he spent his life for the Lord, both in China, Asia, and also in Africa. It is a wonderful challenge to read the biographies written of Charles T. Stott. But here the Lord is among us tonight. And afresh, He is facing us with this very serious, very important question. What are you going to do about it? You who have been saved for a long time, or perhaps only a few months or weeks, what are you going to do about not only your soul and body? They are saved by grace alone. Are you also going to present your body as a living sacrifice to Him? Your members of your body. One day, Christ is also going to raise up this body from those from death of those who have gone before us. And He's going to transform us, who will be alive hopefully soon when the Lord returns, as we were reminded. And He will not only save our soul and our spirit into heaven, but He is also going to transform this body and make it like the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is so important that we use also our body while we are here on earth in the service of the Master. I trust that we are going tonight to do this very thing and to present us anew and again bring before Him our life and rededicate it to Him and to His service. May God help us to do so, every individual one of us, for His name's sake. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Thy heart's delight, who did all the things that Thou wanted Him to do. And we praise Thee, Lord Jesus Christ, for coming down to this earth and giving You for us on the cross. And tonight we have been reminded of Thy wonderful work as Jehovah's servant when You came down here and when You died on Calvary. We pray that as we, Thy people here tonight, have listened to Thy Spirit speaking to our hearts, that Thou would help us to do what the Apostle pleads and beseeches us to do by the mercies of God. When we think of the mercies and the grace of God, we should be willing to do it, because Thou art worthy to have such a presentation from each one of us. Heavenly Father, bless everyone present here tonight. And as we leave this place, follow us and continue to speak to our hearts. For we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.